The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the content or object of belief for eternal salvation? Eternal life is found in Jesus, but can a person believe him for everlasting life, understand that it is guaranteed, yet not realize that the life is a secured present possession? We are so glad that you're joining us today for Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and on the web you can find us at faithalone.org. On that website there are a variety of things. We have many articles written in light of our focused free grace position. They are free for your reading and research. We have a free online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree, a bi-monthly magazine, a conference ministry, and our bookstore, where you can find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. All this at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkins and Sam Marr.
All right, well, Sam, I think you have a question from Tom about everlasting life in the name of Jesus, something like that.
Yep, there was a lot to the email, but to simplify, his question is, would you consider that the scriptures affirm eternal life is inherently found in Jesus, whether one understands the concept of eternal life or not?
Okay, so let's do everything up to the weather, and then we'll talk about the weather. He says, would you believe that, read it to me again.
That the scriptures affirm eternal life is inherently found in Jesus, whether you understand or not.
So I'm going to say, yes, eternal life is inherently found in Jesus. That's true. If you read the Gospel of John, there's over 36 times when Jesus says, the one who believes in me, or the one who believes in the Son of God, or the one who believes in him, like John 3:16, will not perish, but has everlasting life. And so he equates everlasting life or life, like in John 5:24, he uses both everlasting life and life over and over and over again. Those are equated. So yes, the answer is correct. But now read the weather part.
Whether one understands the concept of eternal life or not.
Okay, now the question is what Tom means by that. If what he means by that is, it's possible for a person to believe that they're saved once and for all, once saved, always saved, but they really don't know that that is called everlasting life and that everlasting life begins now. They may think everlasting life begins when you die, but you are secure the moment you believe. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, they're essentially believing what everlasting life is without specifically understanding that everlasting life is a present possession, but they do know it's guaranteed to them, and they do know they're saved once and for all. But I think what Tom means is, what if a person doesn't really grasp the idea of the eternality of the life? Don't you think that's what he means?
I think so.
And if that's what he means, then the answer would be no. I have a friend who's written an article on this, and he said, if you read the Gospel of John, nowhere does Jesus say you must believe in him for everlasting life to have everlasting life. What he says in the Gospel of John is the one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life. And he said that everlasting life is the result. It's not the object of faith. It's not the bullseye. It's not the center. Now, we often say on this show that everlasting life in Jesus is the bullseye. Jesus is the giver. Everlasting life is the gift. And we need to believe both in the giver and the gift. John 4:10. Or John 3:16, or John 5:24, or a whole host of other verses. My friend, when he wrote this article, it's called Grace Notes 79, when he wrote that, he said that everlasting life is the result, not the object, and that it's possible for a person to believe in Jesus and not even have the concept of the irrevocability of salvation on his radar. Well, if the person doesn't have the irrevocability of the life or the salvation or the justification, if he doesn't understand that, then he doesn't yet understand John 3:16, right? Because never perish is, it's secure. Never hunger, never thirst, John 6:35, that's secure. Never be cast out, John 6:37. That's secure. Never die spiritually, John 11:26. That's secure. No one can pluck you out of my hand. That's secure, John 10:28-29. You can't believe that you have everlasting life and not believe you have everlasting life. Now, you can believe, like I said earlier, that you have something equivalent and that you're secure. But I think what Tom's asking is it possible, even if you don't know the concept of an irrevocable life or an irrevocable salvation? And I'd say no.
Yeah, the question always seems to come back to just how do you define believe in Christ, believe in Jesus? If by believe in Jesus you mean believe that he is the Son of God and offers the everlasting life, then yes. But if you are just talking about, I mean, this is the example we always use, but you know Jesus as a historical figure, he existed at some point in time,
right?
You believe he existed. Does that mean you have everlasting life?
This is a really good point, because what my friend was suggesting in this Grace Note 79 is that in John 3:16, the saving part is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him. And the everlasting life part is something that's optional. That's like sanctification truth. It's good to know it, but you don't have to know it to be born again. So what you're saying is the person who believes in Jesus has everlasting life, whether they know about everlasting life or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then my question is, so what does it mean to believe in Jesus? In other words, tell me what that means.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
What specifically are we believing about Jesus if we're not believing that he's the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life that can't be lost? Are we believing that he is the second member of the Trinity? Are we believing he was born of a virgin? That he stilled the storm? That he raised the dead and healed the sick? Are we believing that he's coming again? I mean, it would seem to me that you could be a Roman Catholic, an Eastern Orthodox, a Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness and believe all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you don't believe that by faith in Jesus, you're secure forever. It seems to me you can't divorce everlasting life from what it means to believe in Jesus, because that's what we're believing in him to do, to give me everlasting life. We're believing in him for everlasting life, 1 Timothy 1:16. I think the reason why, Sam, this comes up so much is because I bet you Tom has lots of friends who are wonderful, nice people. They go to church, they pray, they worship God, they serve God. But as far as he knows, they've never been sure they're secure. And he wants to know, are you saying that person is not born again? And our answer is, well, it depends. Did they ever believe in the past? If they believed in the past, then yeah, they're still born again, even though they've lost their assurance. Assurance can be lost. Salvation can't.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, what if you have a really wonderful Roman Catholic friend, and they've always believed in work salvation? If they were faithful to the end, they would make it into the kingdom. And they believed in the seven sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church, right? And so they have to do penance, and they have to confess their sins to the priest, and they have to partake of communion, and they have to do last rites, you know, to deal with any sins. They need to be baptized, of course, because baptized starts the whole salvation process rolling. The problem with that view is that's not what Jesus taught. It's not what the apostles taught. That's more or less what the Judaizers taught in the book of Galatians. Tom, I would say, look, to believe in the name of Jesus or to believe in him is to believe that he guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him, apart from works, just by faith in him. If a person doesn't yet believe that, we need to help them believe that. Or like my friend who said that maybe it's not on their radar. Well, we need to put it on their radar. Because you can't get all of John 3:16 without the part about will not perish but has everlasting life.
Yeah, and that's what I always think about is the Old Testament. They didn't know who Jesus was, so they couldn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. They couldn't believe he was born of a virgin. They couldn't believe in any of those things. They believed a Messiah was coming who was going to save them.
Yeah.
And that is the promise they believed in that they have everlasting life through. So it's not any different for us. We just now know who Jesus is. We know the Christ. We have his words written down, so it should be even easier for us.
You're right. We've got a few minutes to talk about when you raise this issue, and I think it's an important one. There were people in the Old Testament that did know that the Messiah was going to die and rise again. Now, it's not crystal clear that Isaiah understood what he wrote in Isaiah 52 and 53, but if he did, then he knew the Messiah was going to die for the sins of the nation and the world. And if David understood what he wrote in Psalm 22 about piercing hands and feet and they crucified him, then David believed that as well. But there's one clear example where we know for sure that someone prior to the birth of the church believed Jesus was going to die and rise again, and that's Simeon. When baby Jesus is brought into the temple by Mary and Joseph, he takes Jesus up in his arms and he identifies him as the Messiah, as the Savior of Israel. And he said God has allowed him to see Israel's salvation. And then he tells Mary she's going to be deeply grieved by what happens to her son. And he's alluding to his death on the cross. Simeon knew that the Messiah was going to die, and he knew his name was Jesus. And by the way, it's interesting, in the Gospels, you are correct. We don't find, other than Simeon, anybody that believes Jesus is going to die and rise again. Even the apostles don't believe that until after he rises from the dead. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament person believed in him for their eternal salvation, for everlasting life, or else they weren't born again. Remember in John 5:39 and 40, Jesus said to some Pharisaical Jews, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Mm-hmm. And coming to Jesus in John's gospel is believing in him. So they're not willing to believe in him that they may have life. That was true of many Old Testament people, but not all. There were believers in every generation, and of course, we have a lot of them written up in the Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, good question, Tom. Thank you all. And remember, what are we going to do, Sam?
Keep grace
in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, how does the Holy Spirit lead believers today? Hope you'll join us, and until then, have a great weekend, and let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.